If you would find, if you have your Bible in front of you, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we're going to be in that passage this week, and we trust the next 2 weeks, as we think about what it means to share life in Jesus. Now, you won't thank me, and I won't labour the point, but you won't thank me for saying life is tough at the moment, because you know it, you feel it, you experience it. Maybe you've had the virus. Maybe you will get the virus. But even if you haven't had it, and God willing, you'll never get it, you know how virus-like discouragement has been seeping into your system. You are, because we all are, finding it hard to live the Christian life. We're discouraged. We're lonely. We're isolated. We perhaps overthink situations. We get anxious. We feel frustrated with all the people we can't see. We're suddenly realizing how deeply we need one another in the Christian life. Maybe we are straying back slowly, or maybe we're rushing spectacularly into sins we thought we had beaten. Whatever our situations, many of us are finding ourselves weak and discouraged as followers of Jesus. And many of us are feeling ourselves deeply disconnected from the life of Hope Church, which is why we're spending these 3 Sunday mornings unashamedly thinking about church. And even in these strange lockdown times, thinking about how in the church we are to receive and bring encouragement to one another. God's purposes are not on pause. God's Holy Spirit power has not been turned off in this pandemic season. God's will and his heart for us is to live distinctive, even joyful Christian lives as we share life in Jesus. And that's why we're going to this incredibly important paragraph in Luke's gospel. And we're doing it really through the lens of what is our vision statement at Hope Church, whether you've been with us for 9 years or whether this is your very first encounter with us. Our vision statement is sharing life in Jesus. We'll pop it on the screen so you can see. Sharing life in Jesus. We want to explore and enjoy the salvation and life which are in Jesus. We want to share in it. And we want to share that life with other people and with one another. So that vision of sharing life in Jesus, pandemic or no pandemic, looks in the following way as we think about our values. How are we going to share life in Jesus? Well, firstly, we're going to be an evangelizing church. If we found something so wonderful, if we found life and peace and freedom in Jesus, we can't help thinking and speaking about it. So we're going to be an evangelizing church. And we don't just want people to become Christians and stay baby Christians. We are a growing church. We're a growing church, a church where there is life, where people can say, wow, I am growing in my faith because of what I'm receiving and I'm part of at Hope Church. Now, if we're going to grow, we need to pray. So that's our third value. We reach out with the good news. We work to see people grow in Christ as they respond to the good news, but we need to pray that God would be growing us in our maturity in Christ. Now, if God is to work, how does he work in response to our prayers? Very chiefly through his word. So our fourth value is that we are a learning church. We are people committed to enjoying and sharing God's word, the Bible, together on Sundays, in life groups, in small groups, friendships and conversations. We are a learning church. If you're new to Hope, we want you to know that the Bible is heart and center of all that we do, and it's how we learn. Now, we don't learn from the Bible just to be filled and bloated with the Bible, but fifth and sixth value, we learn because we're to be a serving church and a caring church. Serving church, reaching out to one another, using the gifts which God has given us. And a caring church, expressing authentic Christian love in the church and beyond the church. So, what are we about at Hope Church? Sharing life in Jesus. How are we going to do that? We're going to reach out, evangelize. We're going to grow as Christians. We're going to pray for God's help. We're going to be reliant upon his word. We're going to serve one another. And we're going to reach out and share life in Jesus as we care for one another. So they're the distinctives. They're the values. And we find evangelizing, growing, praying, learning, serving, caring in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 7. So let's come there. If you know the book of Acts, you'll know that Acts is a very, very fast-paced book. So much so, it can be at times overwhelming as we read all the details of what the Holy Spirit was doing through the very first church after the birth of Pentecost. But Luke doesn't want us to get indigestion. He doesn't want us to feel overloaded. He doesn't want to leave us behind. But skillful writer as he is, he inserts in his book little paragraphs. They're almost like pit stops. They're places we can just pause and survey what we have learned so far and the ground we've covered as we've read Luke. But wherever these paragraphs come, there's always purpose in them. Luke is always saying, do you see how far we've got? Do you see what God has been doing in and through his people? And in the paragraph in front of us today and for the next two Sundays, Luke is saying not just you can take a breather now, but he's saying far more than that. He's saying, look at what God has done in these people, the first followers of Jesus. And Luke is saying that it's in the local church where the real action is, where God's Spirit is powerfully at work, transforming people by the message and the presence of Jesus as they share life in Jesus. And this paragraph isn't just this is what the early church did, but in many ways, this paragraph becomes a blueprint for what we are to do. By we, I mean Hope Church, but actually every church which wants to share life in Jesus. And so we're going to see what it means to share life in Jesus as we look at Acts 2, this little paragraph. And we're thinking firstly today about how we're called to be the living church. The living church. And by living, I mean living as we reach out with the good news and as we grow, as we take hold of the good news. So that's what we're going to do in our time together. So firstly, we are to be an evangelizing church. If the word evangelizing is new to you, it means reaching out to other people with the good news of Jesus. Reaching out to other people with the good news of Jesus. But I want you to find that, please, in that paragraph in front of you. Where are they reaching out with the good news of Jesus? Some have looked at that paragraph and said, we're not really sure. And we have to say, it's not explicit. If you look down to the very last sentence, Luke does say, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then we have to work back and say, well, how did the Lord add daily to their number those who are being saved? We don't save ourselves. If you're a Christian, you didn't save yourself. And if you're a Christian, you didn't one day suddenly work out what it means to put your trust in Jesus. No. You worked it out, but you worked it out in response to what you heard, learned, or read in the Bible. So for anyone to be a follower of Jesus, they need to encounter God's good news message. Remember how the Apostle Paul is working through this logic in Romans chapter 10. He didn't turn it up, but you might listen, where he says, Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he says in verse 14 of Romans 10, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without somebody preaching to them? Now, Paul doesn't mean you need a set-aside preacher beaming into your life on Zoom or a man standing behind a pulpit. But by preacher, he's clearly thinking widely. And he's saying this, that Christians need to speak up and speak out with the message of Jesus, whether we ourselves are explaining the message or whether we're urging friends and people we meet to read that message in a little Christian booklet or book or the Bible itself, or whether we're sitting down with an open Bible with our non-Christian friends. Paul is saying that encounter needs to go, and we non-Christian people need to encounter the truth of Jesus Christ. And as they do, and as God works, verse 47, the Lord will add to the church those who are being saved. Now, it doesn't get more explicit in that paragraph that evangelism, sharing the gospel, is going on. But I think to Luke's mind, it's obvious. How could the early church have had so much joy in Jesus, so much delight in him, so much awe in God's love and power to save people through the death of Jesus and keep it to themselves? Just unthinkable. The way God has made you and me is that when we get joy, we want to share it. We want to speak about it. We want to get others in on it. Now, you've all had that dilemma. You get given a chocolate cake or whatever your favorite cake is. Carrot cake is in my top three. Simple Victoria sponge with jam in. That's right up there. I think that's number one, though my family cannot relate to that at all. But you get given a cake. You have joy. You have a dilemma. You want to go in the understairs cupboard and eat it all, don't you? You know you do. You know you do. You think, I want that joy. I deserve that joy. I need that joy. But talk about a guilty pleasure. It doesn't work, doesn't it? You have a slice or five, and you think, this feels wrong. I want to share. I'm looking at one of you on Zoom shaking your head. You know it feels wrong. You want to share that joy with others. And think what God has given Hope Church and you and me in Jesus. He's given us himself. He's given us life, love, peace, joy, absolutely unbreakable confidence in the face of death. And we are tempted to keep it to ourselves. Why is that? Is it because we've forgotten how wonderful and powerful and beautiful the good news of Jesus is? Maybe it is. Maybe your takeaway this morning is that you need to go back and beg God for a fresh experience of his love in Jesus that will fill you as it filled these first believers with joy and gladness and awe. And then you will go, even if you don't see yourself as a confident person, praying and looking for opportunities to say what you can with those you know of the Lord Jesus. As we journey on with Luke, Peter and John go on their way. After this, you can trace their story in chapter 3 and 4. And they get in terrible trouble for healing a man in the power of Jesus and speaking of Jesus to the astonished crowd. And they are sent out of prison with this command, do not speak anymore. And if you look up later on Acts 4, verse 20, you see their response. And what Peter says is amazing. We cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. One of my many prayers for Hope Church is that increasingly as God works in us, we're going to be desperate to find ways of speaking about what we've seen and heard and received in Jesus. We've developed and strengthened our evangelism team, who are meeting very soon to work out ways we can reach out as a whole church family and provide you with resources to help share the good news of Jesus with your not yet Christian friends. In the coming days, we'll be putting more videos and resources online on our website, which you can use or which you can pass on to your friends so that they can have some of their questions answered and find out more about Jesus. We'll be thinking as the autumn goes on, are there activities we can do, probably remotely initially, to be inviting our friends to. But remember, the church can do anything, can get any number of events and resources together. But sharing Jesus is the overflow of a full heart and a deep confidence in the power of God in the gospel message. So let's be as a church encouraging each other to keep on discovering all that God has shared with us in Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit leads us, bravely, boldly, prayerfully, sharing the life which is there for everybody who comes to Jesus. So our calling is to be an evangelizing church. But secondly, as we share life in Jesus, we are to be a growing church. An evangelizing church brings people to the Lord Jesus, and God saves them as they discover that Jesus is their Savior, who died for them and who rose again to give them peace and life and hope. And some churches are amazing at finding ways of showing Jesus to people and seeing God work. But when people come to Jesus, they're mere babies, they're infants. And the calling of every church is to be a growing church, meaning that all who say they're trusting in Jesus need to grow up in Jesus. If conversion is new birth, the Christian life is growth. Growth in discovering more about God's grace and how to follow him together with others. How hard has this lockdown been for you? How discouraged or anxious are you feeling about the weeks and the months ahead? It's tough for all of us. But all of us who are Christian believers have the Spirit of God and the call of God to keep on growing, to keep on encouraging one another as we share life in Jesus, to grow up in Jesus. So as a bit of an overview of our paragraph, what does it look like to grow in Jesus? What are the signs of life? There's that deep commitment, verse 42, to one another and to prayer. Aren't you struck by the very generous, radical sharing as people really commit to each other? Verse 44, they had everything in common. They sold possessions and goods. They looked for people who were in need. And as they grew up in their confident trust in Jesus and their love for him, they wanted to express that by giving to others in need. Friends, we can do that. God may not be calling you to sell your home. I'd be very surprised if he were. But we all have more than we need in some areas of life. And it's as we give of what God has given us, time, resources, skills, possessions, money. Then we grow because we are imitating the generous God who has given to us in our deepest needs. So we go on in this paragraph. It's striking, isn't it, at the awe and the joy the believers feel as they're together. Verse 43, they were all filled with awe as God did his work among them. And as they shared together, verse 46, they ate with glad and sincere hearts. They were just grateful and excited to be growing in Jesus. They praised God. They lived such distinctive lives, verse 47, that the favor of other people were upon them. They saw this group of people were people of integrity, that their radical allegiance to Jesus didn't make them weird or odd or isolated, but they were being salt and light in their community. And others noticed and took stock. And here's where it all comes full circle. And others who are being impacted by this growing, maturing, radical community were joining it, not as hangers-on, but as fellow saved Christians. So just think of a vision for Hope Church as you and I grow in our faith. The Spirit of God has been given to you and to me, if we're Christian people, that in lockdown we grow more to be like Jesus. Do you believe that? I notice many Christians of my age and stage, we're always tempted to look back at what God did maybe when we were in our 20s or some other stage, in those glory days. Increasingly, I'm hoping that if people hear me talk about those far off days, they'll just shut me down. Because it's a temptation for many of us to look back and think, oh, it was wonderful when we did that and we did this and we were so full of zeal and so radical and blah, blah, blah. Now, we must none of us ever lose a memory of God's grace. But friends, whatever your age, whatever your stage, whether you've been a Christian 9 months or 50 years, these are glory days. These are your and my glory days. Yes, even in a pandemic. These are days for you and me to grow in the Lord Jesus. I really mean that because, as I'm sure you are, I'm working through in my life what my sins, what my temptations are to discouragement or to withdrawing myself from people of need because I don't want to give of my heart to them, or retreating from the complexities of evangelism. No, these are glory days. These days are God's hard gift to you and me and to all of his church to take Jesus more seriously perhaps than we have ever taken him, to go more deeply into life with him, to share fellowship with him, so that we might go to others with a renewed awe at God, joy in him, eagerness to serve and help them. Because, friends, we're living in a church of great need, a society of incredible need and anxiety. But God has given us generously of his Spirit to be people who, when everything else is so uncertain, are finding a great certainty in the love of Jesus. So take him at his word. Trust him. Rely on him. Grow in him. And prayerfully ask him for ways to share his good news with others. And we will be astonished at what it means individually and corporately to share life in Jesus. And Jesus will get great glory. May I pray for us, then I hand back to David. Lord God, we believe in your Holy Spirit as the Lord and the giver of life, who brings us to and who keeps us in Jesus, and who helps us to explore your love for us and declare your love for us in him. Lord, you know where we're hanging back. You know where we are believing that circumstances make it too hard to follow Jesus. Lord, please lovingly dismantle our excuses. And where we are deeply discouraged, would you speak and work strength into our hearts? Show us, Lord, your path of growing in Jesus to each of us. Dismantle the excuses. Lift our hearts. Breathe faith. And for us as a church, Lord, give us a renewed longing to grow together up in Christ and to find ways and to keep on finding ways of bringing one another to Jesus, to share and to enjoy life in him. And we're praying our prayers in his name. Amen.